Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. It's nice to see you all. Good Sunday morning. Thank you all for joining us. We're gonna be recorded now. Just want to confirm everyone could hear me well. Thumbs up if you could hear me. Great. Okay, so what I wanted to speak about today is we're almost at the end of Hilchos Muktzah. We probably have another one or two shiurim, and then we're going to have to pick a new topic. So it's an exciting time to figure out what should be our next project as a chabura. So I'm open to ideas. You're welcome to send me suggestions. Today is a very interesting topic. It's a little bit historical. It's a little bit territorial, depending on regions. And I think the Maskana we all know, but to see how it happens through the years and through the countries will be fascinating. We're going to talk about the halachas of clocks, muktzah of clocks, watches, pocket watches, grandfather clocks, and hourglasses, which of course were the earlier ways of telling time, and perhaps even earlier than hourglasses were sundials. So although we once gave a shir, a mishmar, about the topic of measuring, and we talked about hourglasses parenthetically, here we're going to talk about the muktzah component of hourglasses, watches, wristwatches, and pocket watches. And you're going to see fascinating things throughout history, how this question was dealt with. So let me share with you the document, the sheets. Hold on, please. Okay, you should now be shared. One second. Great. Hold on, I'm just adjusting my screens. Almost ready. Okay. So my screens are now fully ready and we could begin. Okay. So the question is, are watches muktzah? So let's see what was discussed as early as in the Rishonim. The Beis Yosef starts with a Maharil. Maharil, of course, is one of the fathers of Minhag Ashkenaz. And let's see, he quotes somebody who I never heard of before. I might have heard of him in the Beis Yosef, but I don't know who he is. And I'm sorry, I can't give you some historical background on who he's quoting. Says the Maharil, B'tshuvas Maharil, quoted by the Beis Yosef, as we'll of course see how it manifests its way into the Shulchan Aruch. B'tshuvas Maharil, Tiltul Hashaos. He just called it an hour something. I don't know if it's an hourglass, so in our taxonomy, or just Tiltul Hashaos. Shamati Kfar Shenosev Nosev B'davar. They discussed this ish lefnei Hamorena Harav Vaifsh. I don't know even how, Weiss, is that an early form of how to spell Weiss? Wipes? I don't really know what that, who that is. And Velo Matsu Isser Barer. And we didn't find any specific Isser about handling this kind of timepiece. Nevertheless, at the same time, we didn't find any specific reason why it should be Mutter. V'afil hachi yeheter barer lo amar ba. L'fishner is pashita Isser. Because people assume that it's Aser, but he didn't really find the reason why it should be Aser, nor reason why it should be Mutter. Fascinating issue, you know, to see that something, technology, I don't know why it should be Aser, but I also don't know why it should be Mutter. Oh, so says the Maharil, maybe it should simply be, most simply, Klishem Lachtel Iser, because it's made for measuring. It's a measuring piece, and we know that measuring is an Iser Drabana, which we had a shear once about, we're not going to talk about now, but measuring might be a concern you might come to do business. Measuring might be a concern that you might come to write. Either way, measuring is a clear iser drabanan. So maybe a timepiece, an hourglass or something like that, which is certainly to measure time, would also be an iser, a klishem lachtel iser, because it's made for measuring. We know that when you measure, you want to know how long, if I want to know how long I'm giving shir for, that should be a medida shel mitzvah. I'm measuring time for mitzvah, and we know that you're allowed to measure things for mitzvah, like you can measure a mikvah to make sure it's the right shear. That's okay. So he says, why should measuring when to finish the shear, why is that a mitzvah? Maybe it's an iser. Maybe if you're measuring the time for learning, you're giving a shear with an iser involved. So either way, that's the only thing that he suggests. Maybe it should be a timepiece, a timepiece should be considered klishim lachta leiser. Then he adds an interesting point, perhaps something that's more philosophical. Is measuring time really considered measurement? I understand if you measure mass, if you measure volume, if you measure area, if you measure a line, all those things I understand can be considered measurement. But time is ethereal, time is amorphous. Who says that measuring time should constitute measuring at all? Who says that that's incorporated in the Issur d'Rabbanan of measurements, of medida? V'afagav d'la medida gemurahi, medida says man, mikomakom yesh l'damos, it seems nevertheless to be considered similar enough that it should constitute an Issur of medida. And therefore, look how he finishes. That's the quoting Rav Weifsch, I think. And now I think the Maril continues. V'achre yesher godol hador gimgim bo, if the godol hador, this Morena Rav Weifsch, whoever that is, he's the godol hador, and he's not sure, so how could we question, how could we decide on our own that it's okay or it's not okay? The godol hador doesn't know what to do about this. Oh, what about an hourglass made out of sand that we all know what that looks like? Umashe shamati al shalchol, that which I heard about the one made out of sand, which of course you picture the hourglass with the sand dripping down. Vadoni because of chulios, and others say no, it's not talking about chol, it's talking about chulios, meaning something made out of pieces. I don't know what he means by that when he says that it's made out of chulios. Maros bitzel al yidei chulios. Maybe it's the thing that they shows this a sundial which has little parts to it that you attach, and you can see at which angle the sun hits the board. Mikomakom menali lechalik. I don't know why this should be any different. Maybe a sundial should be worse because you're not just measuring time, which is amorphous. Like an hourglass isn't measuring anything. It just has a certain amount of sand, and as when the sand finishes, you know that a certain amount of time elapsed. There's no measurement. It's measuring time. Time is amorphous. But maybe a sundial is a precise measurement of the light, of the sunlight. And maybe a sundial should be worse than an hourglass. Either way, that's the Beis Yosef quoting early source, early Ashkenazi Rishonim, as to say that it's a question mark. We don't know what a halacha with time measurement pieces are, with early clocks, ancient medieval clocks. And therefore, comes the Shulchan Aruch, and his words are going to be important, because as you'll see in a moment, says the Shulchan Aruch, based on what we just learned together, Mashemor al Hashah, is that which tells time. Shekorin Rilozo, that word is going to be important. Right, we know that the Shulchan Aruch Rav Yosef Karo is Sfardi, and that's going to be important. Shekorin rilozo bein shul shalchol bein shul shal minacher. Whether it's an hourglass made with sand that slides through it, or some other type of timepiece, yesh lehistapek. We don't know. There's a suffik imutal tatlo if it's muktzah or not, if it's a klishim lachto iser or not. We simply don't know, and therefore kvar pashat haminag leesar. And therefore, the minig already, this is the Ramai adding, I think, the minig already has a spread that indeed it is usr. That's the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Says the Magen Avraham, what is this question mark that we're not sure, maybe it's usr? So the Magen Avraham explains what we sort of spoke at already. Didami ledidas hazman, ala medidas hatzel, v'klisha malach tala isr. Fine. Okay, he doesn't add anything from the Maril. Now, Rabosai, what I'd like to do is talk about a tshuva that is quoted by all the commentaries on the side of the page that we just did the Siman Shulchan Aruch. That was Siman Shin Ches, Halacha, Sif, what was that? Sif, Anun Aleph, that was what we did today. And now we're going to analyze this, because if we stop here, it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that watches, and certainly other ways of telling time, even more so, might be mukta. And the minug is that they are mukta. Now let's look at the Panim Me'iros. The Panim Me'iros is quoted by about five different mefarshim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch itself as being a primary source who talked about this issue. Who was he? He was Rav Meir Eisenstadt. Now, Rav Meir Eisenstadt doesn't mean that his last name is Eisenstadt, as you'll see in a minute. He was the Rav of Eisenstadt. His name was Rav Meir from Eisenstadt. Eisen with an aleph and stadt with a shin or a sin. Therefore, he was called Moreno Harav Meir Ash, as you see, because Eisen Stadt, Ash. You got that? So if you know anybody who has the last name Ash, I have a cousin who married a fellow named Ash. Maybe his family's from Eisenstadt, and they called him Ash. So he was born in the, you know, he lived in the late 16, early 1700s, and he was actually, look at this, the teacher and the foster parent of Rav Yonasan Eibschitz. Fascinating. Fascinating. And he himself was a, he had Shilas HaTshuvas with Rabbi Kveh Eger, and he was the grandfather of the Pischei Tshuva. Those who learn Shulchan Aruch are familiar that one of the main Mefarshim, one of the very unusual and excellent Mefarshim, is the Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva basically accumulates all the Tshuvos that have been written since the time of the Shulchan Aruch until his day. All the main Chasam Sofers and the main... a lot of Chasam Sofers, and the main Tshuvas that were written until from the Shulchan Aruch until his day, and he presents them to you on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, meaning all the things that appear in Halacha, not in commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Shas of Tshuvas, and that's the Sefer called Pischei Tshuvas, and very often, on every page of Shulchan Aruch, he quotes, Adoni Avi Zikni, my grandfather, the Panim Meiros. So this is the Panim Meiros. So let's see what he says about clocks, and he's going to bring us to travel to different places in Europe, and you're going to see some fascinating things based on the linguistics of clocks. Let's go through this. Let's begin the Panamiras. Hinei, Chacham Echad Osar Litaltel Zokor, which again the Bar Ilan translates as a clock. B'Shabbos Zokor. I don't know what Zok means, but an Ur. I did check on my Google Translate. I know some people here are. Our linguists, Ur is a clock in modern German. So we're talking about Eisenstadt, which was in Austria, right? He died in he was something near Austria, at least. So German would have been a language that would have been spoken. So an Ur is a clock. Shenosim kol yimei chol bekis derech noy v'tachshin. He's clearly talking about a pocket watch. You have it in your pocket. You hold it in your pocket as a tachshit. So clearly, he's talking about a pocket watch. Why did this person say it's aser? V'tamo shel hachacham ha'oser mishum shebesimet shenches. He quotes our Shulchan Aruch that we just learned, where our Shulchan Aruch said that we're not sure if it's mukta or not. V'ah. So far, he didn't tell us anything. But look at this linguistic proof for halacha. V'amar hachacham ha'oser sheshem rul yo. Who lashon svardi shem hakolel ur ratzalomer kol mine urin asurim letaltel. Let's look back, gentlemen, at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said that the clock, these timepieces that are called in, he doesn't tell us which Spanish, which language, rilozo, riloa, something like that. I don't know how to pronounce the z here, the zion here, rilo, is considered safek muktza. Says this person who writes to the Panim Meiros, in Spanish, that's the word that refers to a general word for clocks. I looked it up. Yes, reloj, I don't think you pronounce the J in Spanish, is the modern Spanish. It's the same word for Uhr in modern German. I looked all these words up. And it's talking about all types of watches, clocks, timepieces. It seems that this person is suggesting that since the Shulchan Aruch used a very general word that refers to the general word for clocks, timepieces, watches, they are all going to be usser. That's the suggestion of this questioner. Now the Panim Meiros is going to start talking himself. And I discussed this with him, and I said that I think that there's room to be lenient. Why? I think, says the Panim Meiros, that you could be makel in this question of using a clock. Why? Ki Shulchan Aruch medaktek sha'a shel chol. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch specified an hour piece of made out of sand, and the Magen Avraham added oshel tzel, or a sundial. Says the Panim Meiros, specifically, these two and only these two types of timekeepers are going to be problematic. Davka elu asun l'taltel. And there's a very big reason to distinguish between a sundial and an hourglass on one hand and regular clocks or a pocket watch on the other hand. Why? Mishum debahani shows blishum tunas adam enu yachol lefal pulasan mamish. He said that these items, a sundial and an hourglass, can't work without a person. You need a person to manage. The sundial only works if you set the thing so that it could measure. And the hourglass only works if you flip it over. So there, where you have to get involved physically in order to determine the time, to tell the time, to measure the time, that's going to be an isser. That's why they're going to be asur, because it's like what? It's like kamosha adam hamodet hashabbos shabbos. If the way to measure is only by the intervention, with human intervention, meaning the only way this will measure is if the guy flips over the hourglass or the guy sets and adjusts the sundial, and that's the only way to tell time, that means the human is measuring time. Listen to this beautiful svara. Masha ein kein, however, look at the words he uses are fascinating. Masha ein kein, when we talk about a watch, a wristwatch, a pocket watch, Bishar Urin, Ur again is German for clocks or watches, which he wants to say they're alive. They just tell time, they just go. Look how he describes the fact that they run on their own. Look how the words that he chooses are fascinating. Shemare ofanim kichayos, kichayos heina, right? He's playing with words in Tanakh, that the mara of ofanim, he's talking about the gears, but really ofanim are also the malachim. And he's referring to the malachim as chayos, because they're alive, they keep on, they turn on their own. Kichayos heina, that's the pasuk by that Shifrin Pua tell Paro that the women are chayos heina. They do it by themselves, you don't have to, they just give birth, these gears move by themselves. Hachaynos yisatzim. Again, it's all these metaphors to prove that you just set it before Shabbos and it goes by itself. There's no human intervention whatsoever. Asher kodem Shabbos nerach v'holech me'atzim. Chav dalashos. You set it before Shabbos and they wind on their own, or they unwind on their own. They go straight for 24 hours. Why should they be usher? Again, if the issur is that you need, if there's some human intervention involved, then we could claim that there's a... If there's human intervention, we could think you're doing a mice of medida. But if something works on its own and it just is released and set forth and the springs are set before Shabbos, it just zooms ahead and moves forward on its own, so why should that be aser? That's the svara of the Panim Meiros, and therefore he distinguishes between anything that is measured, any timepiece that needs to measure through human intervention, that will be aser, because that's like an act of medida, as opposed to something like a clock that just runs on its own, will be mutter. That's number one. Secondly, he says, you, Rama, said, kvar nispashe ta minhag lesar. You're saying that the minhag is that people are knowing to practice that it's prohibited. But it's usher. You're not saying that it's usher. And how can you say that the minhag is that it's usher? After all, shereisi bekama kehilos shafil lomdim. When the rabbis give shir, when the rabbis give their drasha, kishadoshim barabim lochim mikis, and they take out of their pocket their pocket watch, ha'ur, bizman hazeh. I'm sorry. So the rabbis, when they would give drashas, you see that the balabatim were hounding the rabbis even in 250 years ago about not giving drashas too long. Or, maybe they wanted to make sure that it was long enough. So you can't bring a raya, Rav Osei. Maybe the rabbis wanted to make sure they didn't speak less than an hour. They didn't speak less than 20 minutes. So... You have to know how to learn this. I don't think we could bring any proof to that rabbis are supposed to give a short drasha. So I'm not sure. We'll have to talk about this some other time. He said, "What do you mean? Nowadays, everybody? Oh no, I'm wrong. V'rom kamashos shadarshim shalol hatriach tzibur. The rabbis always had to know how many hours they spoke because they don't want to be matriach the tzibur, right? They shouldn't talk too many hours. Rabbis should only talk 2 or 3 hours long. They shouldn't go more than a few hours." So as not to be matriach the tzibur. So I guess you're right. Your rabbi shouldn't talk too long. He should limit it to 2 or 3 hours. So that's what everyone does, says the Panim Meiros. So how can you say, kfar pashta minhag lesar? We see clearly that the minhag is that rabbis take their pocket watches out so that they shouldn't go overtime. Okay. Then he says, oh, by the way, this is not even the answer of the Panim Meiros. This is all the questioner, a very good questioner. But these are all the svaras of the questioner who puts forth these svaras to distinguish between an hourglass and a sundial where human intervention is necessary, as opposed to a watch which works by itself. That's all the question. Then we get to, finally, what he answers. And note he says the Panim Meiros, Yafe kivein maila kvot haraso. I think you said very nice. And the person who said that it's usur is totally wrong. And the original source, that primary text that we were learning, the Ma'ril, that early Ma'ril who said that maybe it should be considered measurement, he was only talking about, they were only discussing medida sachal, measuring sand, meaning an hourglass, or medida satzel, a sundial. Aval ha'urin shalanu, but our watches, our clocks, there's no measurement of sand, there's no measurement of shade, it's all just measuring of time, and presumably what he means to say is that that's not considered real measuring. Now, Rabosai, until now, okay, what he's about to say is going to be a big chiddush to all of you. Continues the Panim Meiros and says, Uladaiti, I think you could even, I don't want to translate these words because I don't know exactly what he was referring to. Ein Isser, you're even allowed to do what? Ein Isser, afilu b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, you're allowed to limshoch al yedei ha'ofen, you could pull through the wheel. I don't know what he's referring to, but it sounds to me, you'll tell me what you think it sounds like. Hashalsheles hakatan, the small chain, again, you could pull the wheel that pulls the small chain, and therefore, and afterwards, v'achakach hochlech hashalsheles la'at la'at, and afterwards, the chain will go by itself, little by little. And through this, v'ayidei tachpulizen, through this activity, exercise, holchem ha'ofanim marim ha'shos. Afterwards, the gears will turn and tell the time. This seems to me that you're allowed to wind the clock. Right? Isn't that what these words are saying? The Panim Meiros is saying that you're allowed to wind a clock on Shabbos itself. You know why? Because why should it be usur? Right? You can't be usur unless you have a reason why it should be usur. Lo yadati shem usur. Maybe you'll say that it's like you're putting something together. We have cases in the Gemara where it talks about things that are put together. For example, a bed that was made out of pieces. When people would travel, when you had businessmen who had to travel from city to city, so they didn't want to stay in a hotel, it's expensive. They took a portable bed with them. And they'd go to a new city and they'd set up their cot. And then go to the next city and set up, they'd take it apart and put it together again. So that's called a mita refuya, a weekly attached bed. And that's mutter to do on Shabbos. Why? Because it's not a strong, firm attachment. So too here. If you have to do this again every single day, clearly you can't call it tikkun mana, you can't call it makkeh b'patish, fixing something or making something or building something, if it's done every single day. Clearly, it wasn't a successful. If you have to reset a watch or pull the wire, pull the spring every day, clearly you didn't finish something or accomplish anything meaningful, and therefore he says it should be mutter not only to wear a watch, to move a watch, to measure time. It should even be permitted to set a watch, to wind a clock on Shabbos. Now this is a point that other poskim, including the Mishnah Berurah, are going to call an issa d'oraisa. So just be aware, we're getting into some very heavy dispute. What?
There's a big difference. Now the watch has to be running when you want it. It has to be running while you want it, but even if it's dead, you can stop.
What we just saw, as far as what he said that, look what I have highlighted on the screen. What he just said is, lo yadati shum iser misa. He doesn't understand why there should be an Isser, and accordingly, it should not matter whether it's moving or not. I know that there are poskim who make your distinction, that once it's stopped, you're now making it work again, so you're making something that's broken to be fixed, and he would respond that it is, you can't call it broken and fixed, because you have to do this every day. Broken and fixed means my washer doesn't fix, I call a fixer man, and now it works for the next 5 years. But if you have to do this every day, that means it wasn't broken and you're not fixing it. This is just how it, it's just a wind-up toy. So according to this Panim Meiros, he does not make the distinction between if it has stopped already or it has continued. Dr. Rabbi Kanner, what were you going to say?
There's a difference between winding something, going back to what this is saying, winding something and setting something. Just because you can wind it doesn't mean you can set it.
Could you explain to me halachically what the chiluk should be? Why there should be a chiluk?
Winding something is just like maintaining it. Setting it is fixing it.
It could be that the Poskim would say this, but in the Panim Yiras that we just saw, I don't see any chiluk. I wouldn't see a chiluk like that. Okay, and finally comes the Panim Yiras to add, again, which may apply to some of us and not to others, depends on whether you like to wear a Rolex or on Shabbos, or whether you like to wear a G-Shock plastic Casio on Shabbos. He concludes that this can't be considered klishim lachtel iser fakert tachit gadolhu. Right, every sophisticated person walks around with a pocket watch. I think the only place you're going to find a pocket watch nowadays is in Williamsburg and Borough Park. But that's where the sarim nechbadim live. Okay, fine. So that's the psak of the Panim Meiros. A beautiful, beautiful tshuva. Now look at this. Now we're going to see something fascinating, and I want to remind you what we saw when I told you who the Panim Meiros was, and I purposely did this. I told you that he was the stepfather of Rav Yonis and Eibshitz, right? He was the foster father, I'm sorry. He adopted Rav Yonis and Eibshitz. I don't know what that really means, that he was the foster father of Yonis and Eibshitz. Was he a Yosem or not? I don't know. But it was, I'm just getting this biography from the short biography that Bar Ilan provides about each of its tshuvas. But now look at what he's going to do at the end of his tshuva. Remember, he was the foster father of Rav Yonis and Eibshitz. Now, at the end of the tshuva, look who he quotes. Vishamati. Shemechutani, my mechutin. Who's the Panim Meiros' mechutin? None other than the Posek Hador, the Chacham Tzvi. And he carried a silver watch on Shabbos. He had a silver pocket watch. Rabosai, it wasn't gold, it was only silver. Okay, so you don't have to buy your mechutin. Even if you have a son-in-law who's like the Chacham Tzvi, you don't have to buy him a gold watch. A silver watch is sufficient. So my mechutin, the Chacham Tzvi, the God, the Posek Hador of that generation, was the Chacham Tzvi, indeed. He had, you know who told me this? Guess who told me this? My daughter-in-law told me this. V'chein he'ida eshes bini, my son, who's married the daughter of the Chacham Tzvi, and she's Bas Hagon, she's the Chacham Tzvi's daughter. Ubas Uryunhi, she's quite a girl. Fascinating that the Panim Meiros tells, wants to step in that my daughter-in-law, she's quite a girl. Bas Uryun means she's a Chashma young lady. So now Rabosei, just a little bit of a historical, I think, Yossi son of the Chaps, what's happening. Who is the Chacham Tzvi's father? I'm sorry, who is the Chacham Tzvi's son?
Yaakov
Emdin. The Yaivitz, Yaakov Emdin ben Tzvi. Yaakov Emdin ben Tzvi. The Yaivitz was Rav Yaakov Emdin ben Tzvi, who's the son of the Chacham Tzvi. That means that the Panim Meiros was on one hand, the stepfather of Rav Yonis and Eibshitz, and also the uncle or the mechutin with the Rav Yaakov Emdin. So he. So Rav Yaakov Emdin and Rav Yonis and Eibshitz, who fought worlds against each other, were quite close familially. So I think it's a fascinating, again, a little historical tidbit. But that's not for now. Okay. Rabosa, we just had a very strong tshuva, I believe. The Panim Meiros is a very strong tshuva. He has some very convincing arguments. He makes a fundamental distinction between a timepiece where there's a human intervention, where we could say that's similar to measurement and possibly should be usher, as opposed to a timepiece that functions on its own. I think that's a very strong svara, and he comes out, even the Chacham Tzvi carried a timepiece on Shabbos, a pocket watch, mutter l'chatchila, it sounds like. And he's distinguishing between that and the Shulchan Aruch is speaking of. The Shulchan Aruch is speaking about something that needs human intervention to measure the time. Rabbo said, we're now going to see the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov was from the Gedolei HaPoskim. We're going to go through his arguments. We're going to go through his points, and he's going to argue. He's going to say, absolutely not. Watches are mukta. But we're going to go through his arguments. I'd like you to tell me, who do you think is presenting the strongest svaras? Let's go through the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov, here in Chelek Gimel Simon Chavav, again, was born in a similar time to the Panim Meiros. He was at the end of the 1600s in Prague. And he was also, a Rav in Prague, in Ansbach, in Germany. Also, similar areas and similar time period to the Panim Meiros. And the question that was asked to him, not in Spanish and not in German, but the question that was asked to him was in Yiddish. Hayim yesh yet heter bar letalta b'shas mashakorin b'loshen Ashkenaz zayger or zayger. Oh, that's the word that all of you are familiar with. A zayger, a zayger. That's shemor al hashos, that tells time. Because I know there are many people who are making this. Is this indeed mutter? Look at what the Shvus Yaakov comes to suggest. The Shvus Yaakov is not happy about this. Chadash mikarbo, there are these modernish people who have come to be mekel b'davar zeh b'farhesia because they saw a certain rabbi permitted it. These modernish ones. L'anias daiti ein heter zeh b'aretz. It's not clear that it should be mutter to carry a watch. Pshita imhu zayger shemashmiya kol, if it's a watch that dings, that gives, that makes noise, to have a tashmisho le'iser, that's called a klisha imlachta le'iser, pshita she'aser, right? We know that a mashmiya kol, a musical instrument, is aser. A knocker is not just that you can't knock on a knocker on Shabbos, but a knocker is mukta, because it's made to make noise. Any noise-producing tool is a klisha imlachta le'iser. Rabosai, if you have a watch that happens to ding every once in a while, that means it's a klisha malach tala isra? I don't know. I don't hear that, Svara. A klisha malach tala isra presumably should be defined by its primary tashmish. If you have something that tells time, and if we assume that time is not telling time, it's not a malacha, let's assume. The fact that it dings every hour on the hour, or even every half hour on the half hour, that's not its primary tashmish. That should make it a klisha malach tala isra? I don't know. I don't hear that, Svara. Next. What about those that are silent? Vafilo osam she'ena mashmiyim kol al hashos. And even those timepieces, those watches that don't ding or that don't ring every hour, mikol makom yesh ligzar, atu einach she'mashmiyim kol. You should make a gzeira d'rabbanan to aser non-dinging watches, atu dinging watches. What? Did you ever hear of making up a gzeira? Like Chazal said that there's a gzeira d'rabbanan not to have noise items, because if you have things that make noise, you know what the problem with making noise is? Making noise is what we'll see soon. Avsha Milsa, it looks like something that makes noise will think that you're doing a malacha. Right? If you have your mill, your water mill, running on Shabbos, even though you're not doing any malacha, everything was set up from Friday, but the water that's running through the mill and that clinking of the turning of the wheel of the mill makes a lot of noise, and people will think that you're putting in flour, you're putting in wheat kernels on Shabbos, and it's grinding on Shabbos, and you're involved with it on Shabbos. So therefore, Chacham said, we don't want you to make things that give off sound. Or maybe that you'll come, or if you talk about a clay shear, an instrument, we're worried that you might come to Misak and clay shear. But you hear what he's doing? The Shvus Yaakov is suggesting that every watch should be usher as a gzera atu, those watches that give off noise. It sounds like he's stretching, he's making up gzeras. Again, I'm not saying the Shvus Yaakov wasn't one of the Gedolei Hador. I'm just saying, I don't hear this svara. I didn't hear the first svara where he says that even if it does make noise, it's a klisha malach tala isra, I don't hear. Now he's saying that even if it's not making noise, it should still be usher because it's like a noise-making instrument. I don't hear that at all. That's even weaker than the previous argument. Okay. And the next one, I think, is even weaker. Old, furthermore, third argument, even those that don't make any noise, even those that work, he's talking about what you'll see as he describes it, was probably similar to a grandfather clock. Degam elu al yidei hiluche b'mishkolos v'galgalim. Right? Did you ever see the inside of a grandfather clock? There are gears and there are weights that go back and forth. Gam ken yesh bo hashmas kol ktsas, right? There's a tick-tock, tick-tock. Rabosai, is a tick-tock considered hashmas kol? We have parameters for the halachas of how loud something has to be, that it's avsha milsa, that it's considered loud enough that it draws people's attention. So if you have a mill running in the city and the whole city hears it, I understand it's usher. But the tick-tock of a grandfather clock, that's enough noise to qualify it to cross the threshold of mashmiya kol. It's hard to accept. Again, Shvus Yaakov holds yes. Okay, who are we to argue on him? But it sounds to me like a very weak svara. Furthermore, gam b'tshuvas dvar Shmuel, he writes al tiltul kli yashos avu b'shein derech isur borim min haTalmud v'lo mikad moni poskim. He quotes this Dvar Shmuel, don't know who the Dvar Shmuel is, even though there's no reason in the Gemara to Aser. And no one in the early post-Gim cite any reason to Aser. But the minhag is to make it Aser. And as the Ramah quoted, right? We did see the Ramah, right? The Ramah did say, all the way up, let's jump back up to the Ramah with whom we began. The Ramah did say Kfar Pashta Minag Lasar. So it is true that Ramah did talk, whatever the Shulchan Aruch was speaking of, the Ramah did say there is a Minag that has spread to be Asar, even though we've seen that every Rav gives, you know, a drusha with a pocket watch in his pocket, so I'm not sure how the Ramah is saying that it's spread out to be Asar. He says, maybe, you know why it's Asar? Maybe it's Asar either because it's measuring, or maybe it's Asar because, look what he says, She'efshar she'nagu ba mipnei gzeres kli harigul shel mateches hamekashkei sha'os, like we see in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Lamed Ches. Maybe a watch should be Asar based on what we see in Shin Lamed Ches. Well, Rabbos, so let's look together in Shin Lamed Ches and see what he's referring to as a reason to Asar watches. Okay, so in Shin Lamed Ches, we're talking about something that is, again, I'm not, it's sort of similar to a grandfather clock. I don't know exactly what he's talking about. Zug hamikashkes l'shos. You have something that dings every hour. Asui adei mishkalos, right? Every church bell. I mean, there's like the same thing like a church bell, that not one that you have to ring with your hands, but a church bell that would be, you know, with a like a grandfather clock. They had those for hundreds of years. He says the Shulchan Aruch explicitly, remember, the Shus Yaakov wants to say, this is a proof that it's Asr, but look what the Shulchan Aruch itself says. Shulchan Aruch says, if you have this grandfather clock... I'm sorry? Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you have this thing that presumably is like a grandfather clock, the Shulchan Aruch says, it is mutter la'archo la'achinu meba'od yom. You're allowed to set it up on Friday so that it should work on Shabbos. So it's explicit that you can, okay, maybe you can't set it on Shabbos, this item. I know the Panim Meiros wanted to say you're even allowed to set a clock on Shabbos or wind the clock on Shabbos. So this, he says, on Erev Shabbos you can. And what's the reason? And I spoke everything out because the whole question was... The whole problem with making noise, things that make noise, is a problem called Avsha Milsa. Avsha Milsa is a Gemara where it speaks about a Yechayim Shalmayim, a person has a water mill on Shabbos, and we're worried that if their water mill is running, it's going to sound like you are working on Shabbos, so therefore you're not allowed to cause loud noises on Shabbos, because people will think that you put the grain into your mill on Shabbos. But look what the Beis Yosef over there writes. On that halacha, where he says that you're allowed to set a grandfather clock erev Shabbos, presumably but not on Shabbos, look what the Beis Yosef says. Tam ze lo shayach klal gabi zug hamikashkesh. This problem of the sound that is given off by the let's assume it's a grandfather clock. Grandfather clock makes a lot of noise, right? When it hits the hour, on the hour, ding, dong, a beautiful sound that's quite loud. So yeah, why isn't that a problem? Why isn't the grandfather clock usher? Because of the loud sound that it makes. Look at the svara that the Beis Yosef quotes the Augur, one of the earlier Rishonim, suggests. A grandfather clock, the chime of the grandfather clock, the dinging of the grandfather clock on the hour, everybody knows, says the Augur, quoted by the Beis Yosef, Hakol yod v'shir gilim l'sakma b'chol yom al yom shel acharav. Everyone knows you set it one day, so it could work the next day. When you play with your grandfather clock on Friday, it will work on Shabbos. So the fact that it's ringing on Shabbos tells you what? Tells you that somebody might be doing malacha now. What's the whole reason why you're not allowed to make loud noises on Shabbos? What's this concept called Avsha Milsa? Because people might think that you're doing malacha on Shabbos. I hear the mill running. Somebody, that Jewish mill owner, that Jewish wheat grinder, is working on Shabbos. That's the problem. But when I hear something on Shabbos that I know is a demonstration that somebody said it before Shabbos, that's exactly what a grandfather clock is. Why do I hear the clock strike noon on Shabbos afternoon? That's an indication that on Friday, the guy who owns the clock set the grandfather clock. Therefore, there's no problem having the noise. What do you see from this? You see that if there's a noise, even a loud noise, that is given off on Shabbos, but is an indication of something that was set prior to Shabbos, that makes it mutter. That's not even going to have the issue of a noisemaker on Shabbos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Lamed Ches. Now, let's go back and see what the Shvas Yaakov wanted to say based on this. He says, maybe it's usher to use watches because it's like a grandfather clock. But didn't we just prove that grandfather clocks are fine on Shabbos? So, every argument that the Shvas Yaakov put forth gets weaker and weaker and weaker, as far as our svaras are concerned. Okay, so I shouldn't speak so audaciously against one of the great Gedolei HaPsak like the Shvas Yaakov, because if we look at a Prima Gadim, he's going to tell us something interesting. The Prima Gadim by us in Hilchas Mukta says that the Panim Me'iros, he quotes what we learned, that the Panim Me'iros allowed you not only to move a wristwatch or a pocket watch on Shabbos, but even to set it or to wind it. And then he says, but, look at this. You remember that story with the grandfather clock? The story with the grandfather clock, look at how the Prima Gadim says, the grandfather clock, you know why it's mutter? Because we don't compare it to a rechayim, because it was set before Shabbos. Oh, says the Prima Gadim, what are you comparing it to? You're comparing it to a rechayim? You're comparing it to a mill that grinds? Well, a mill that grinds on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa, right? The question is, does the sound that you hear indicate that an issur d'oraisa is happening? Well, if a grandfather clock is compared to a mill, that means if you actually set the grandfather clock, maybe that's d'oraisa, just like the mill that you're comparing it to. Yes, if you set it before Shabbos and it just continues on Shabbos, that should be okay. But the comparison to a rechayim is comparing a grandfather clock to a mill. That sounds like setting a grandfather clock, setting the watch, might itself be asu d'oraisa, just like the mill. Because the Rishonim compared a grandfather clock to a mill. So even though a grandfather clock is mutter, because, you definitely set it before Shabbos, but if not for the fact that it was set before Shabbos, if it was something that would be set on Shabbos, then maybe indeed it would be asur d'oraisa, it sounds from this comparison, says the Prima Gadim. Uh-huh. Okay. So the Prima Gadim is not so quick to be lenient about watches. And he says, again, setting watches. But as far as the Muktzah concerned, the Prima Gadim is not really dealing with. He's just talking about setting watches, whereas the Panim Me'iros was make even to set a watch, because he didn't think there was anything wrong with that, to wind the watch. He realizes that that might be an issue, to set a watch, to wind the watch. That would be indeed much more questionable. And maybe it's, even though you do it every day, it's not like that. You remember we said, the Panim Me'iros said, if something that you do every day, how could you say that's fixing, that's makar b'patish? You do it every day. That's not putting a finishing touch on anything. You're doing it every day. So says the Prima Gadim, setting a watch, winding a watch, it's not so similar, because the Chazan pointed out, maybe once the watch stops, you have nothing. You don't have a watch. If you have a watch that doesn't tell time, you have nothing more than maybe a piece of jewelry if it's nice, if it's gold. Other than that, you have nothing. It's not like you have if you have a bowl that's missing, I don't know what, the attachment, you still have a bowl. But a watch that doesn't tell time, that stopped telling time, you have nothing at all. So says the Prima Gadim, ain't kli below hamshach. There's no kli here. And therefore, if you would set the time or you would wind it, that would be makar b'patish. Okay, either way, he's willing to be maker with a guy to wind a watch on Shabbos. And certainly, l'inyan tilta, as far as the muktzah aspect, he says nowadays everybody wears a pocket watch and it's a takshish, so nowadays will be definitely mutter. Okay, so what we just did is we saw a few different svaras in the Achronim, beautiful svaras. I think those were beautiful, just to see that the logic was very beautiful. I want to finish off with a fascinating perspective of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, quoted in an excellent sefer, Sefer Morei HaEish, which is Reb Shlomo Zalman's, an accumulation of Reb Shlomo Zalman's writings, primarily him. I think it's all his or from him, I don't remember. About a lot of technology, electricity, and modern applications of halacha. So he has a very fascinating svar that I want to share with you. that is going to really introduce a new variable that we have in Avian Entertainment. This is going to be the last point, a whole new vantage point on looking at the whole concept of measurements and why measuring should be usser and clocks should be usser, not usser. Look at what he says. He says, what's the whole idea of measuring? Why is measuring usser? Measuring is usser on, we didn't go through the sugi, that wasn't today's topic, but when we did learn it 2 or 3 years ago on Thursday night, we learned that there are two reasons. Either it's uvdan d'chol. Measuring is a kind of thing that you do as part of your business, as part of your building. When you do construction, you measure. That's uvdan d'chol. Or maybe it's a gzera that you might come to write, but let's focus on the fact that it's more like an uvdan d'chol. You measure when you want to sell tomatoes, you have to weigh the tomatoes. When you want to sell yarn, you measure how long the yarn is. When you sell the ground, you have to figure out the area, how many acres there are. When you sell anything, you have to measure how much there is. When you build a building, you have to measure the measurements. Look at what the Rav Shlomo Zalman says now. Val pizan nira. And based on this logic that I just presented, that the concept of measuring, which is usur because of uvdan d'chol, which all is associated with business and pragmatia and building and all those malacha-type things, nira, degam moreh shows, it seems to me, suggests Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he's going out on a limb, because I haven't seen anyone who says this, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it seems to me that timepieces in ancient times were also for manufacturing purposes, or malacha purposes, or construction purposes. Nira degam ha-mori shows, sheish tam shubahem bedoros ha-kadmonim, could go mori shel shechol, hourglasses. Why do they have to have hourglasses? To know how long the human society created hourglasses so the rabbanim should know how that they can't give a speech more than 2 hours long? No. Lo yish tam shubahem al pirov, ki im bish'as asiyas ezo malacha. If they know that they have to soak the dye, if they want to dye their strings in the dye and keep it boiling for a certain amount of time, and they want the dye to come out rich and vivid, but they don't want the material to get ruined, they have to not overboil it. So what do? They needed a timepiece. That's just one example. When you have to measure something precisely, like in a pharmacy, I guess you have to mix something for a certain amount of time. B'shas malacha cheresh osen asal picheshbon hazman. Any other malacha that depends on a certain time duration. That's why timepieces were needed in the ancient world. Masha'en came b'dor. And therefore there's some association. There's an uvdan d'chol correlation between telling time and doing malacha. Because they're related. Conceptually they're related. And that's nothing to do with telling time nowadays. Mashain came bedoras achronim in our generation. She'el ha'adam, everybody, every person on this call, 90% of you are wearing watches. If you're not wearing a watch, you have a clock on your phone that you carry with yourself. Mashain came bedoras achronim she'el ha'adam she'el ha'shah. It's a cute line, right? Ein lo adam she'el ha'shah also means every person has their moment in the sunlight. Every person has their opportunity. Every moment, every person has their their special moment in time. But he says, every person, there's no person that doesn't have his own shah, meaning everyone wears a watch. Nothing to do. When you want to know what time, when you want to measure the time, it's not because you want to know how long to leave the fabric in the dye that's bubbling on the fire. And therefore, the measure that we do today of time is not like the time measurement of years gone by. And it's not the same uvdan d'chol that it once was. And therefore, it should be permitted bizman hazeh to measure time, even though in the ancient world it was usur, because it was medidas hazman would have been an uvdan d'chol, but the time measurement that we do now is no way, shape, or form an uvdan d'chol. And therefore, it's not going to be a klisha malach to l'isur either. And therefore, this svara presumably should be permitting even an hourglass and even a sundial. Which even though we said earlier at the beginning of the year that there might be gigantic makom lechalek, that hourglasses is a real measurement. Sundial is a real measurement. It's measuring the shade. It's measuring the sand. But just time is not really measuring anything. Here he suggests, Rosh Hashanah says, that even the iser of hourglasses are only iser because it's of the dechol, but nowadays it's not even considered of the dechol. So Shlomo Zalman throws a wrench in the whole sugya how timepieces have been used throughout history, and that allows us to really be matir just about everything, according to Shlomo Zalman. So instead, I'm going to stop this this share, and we'll finish with our... I see the two comments on the chat. So somebody's pointing out that in the olden times, why is Rav Shlomo Zalman saying that they didn't use, they only used timepieces to for manufacturing purposes or to do malacha? What about Zman Kriya Shema? What about Zman Tfila? There are different davening things. So you think that it's part of... So I think that's not true, whoever. You wrote it anonymously, so I won't mention your name. I don't think that's correct. I'll tell you why. Because all the Zman that we have are Shas Zmanios. So to use an hourglass, which is an absolute time indicator, that wouldn't demonstrate what time the tefillos should or shouldn't be. I think a sundial maybe. Yeah, a sundial, that's true, I agree. Sundials might have been used to see, is it 2 hours after, 3 hours after the sun has risen, or is it 4 hours after the sun has risen? That I agree. I hear what you're saying. That's a good point. You're saying that, you're asking on Rav Shlomo Zalman, don't you think that our great 900, 2,500, 2,000 years ago, don't you think they used sundials to know when to say Kriya Shema? Why is Rav Shlomo Zalman saying no, they only use those things for malacha? I hear it could be that it wasn't, I'm not going to go around the room today asking what time everybody woke up on this call, on this Zoom, but I'm assuming that in ancient times, it were only the princes who woke up at 9 o'clock, with Davin Shachas at 9 o'clock, as the Mishnah in Brachos specifies that it's the Zman Sidshe B'nei Malachim wake up. But most people woke up at the crack of dawn. They weren't so worried about when Zman Tefillah is, when Zman Kriya Shema. I mean, they're worried about it, but they're worried about it, 3 hours before it came. So I'm just wondering that the general usage, Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying, the general usage around the world for a timepiece was probably in the realm of the, manufacturing and doing malach. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman's svara. But I hear what you said. It's a nice point. Okay, yashar koach, rabosai. Halach lemaisa, I think we all know that we are wear watches. So that's certainly nowadays, it is, we do wear watches.
Shabbos
that
gives you an
hourglass,
maybe you shouldn't be allowed to use that.
That is correct. I think this svar of Shlomo Zalman is not a strong enough svar. It's against explicit Shulchan Aruch. It's against the Nosei Kalim. It's a chudish etik svar. It's a brilliant chap, but I would not be willing to be lenient based on it against the accepted psak of the Shulchan Aruch explicitly. The Shulchan Aruch does say at least an hourglass is muktzah, at least a sundial is muktzah. Everything else we could discuss. We had a beautiful, chilik of the Panim Iris who distinguished between where you're measuring sand, measuring sand and measuring the shade as opposed to just telling time, because you're not actively you don't have an act of measurement. It just happens by itself. Like our watches just happen by themselves. But an hourglass, which you're actually telling, you have games, Boggle, Scrabble. You have games that use those hourglasses, and I think that is, yes, that would be Aser on Shabbos, correct. It would be an Issa Drabbanan, and I believe that hourglass would be Muktzah. Even if it's for a game, I don't think that changes anything. Thank you.
How would you be able to schedule any shiurim, Shabbos HaKadol Brasha, or if you don't have a watch? How do you get the people to listen to the shiur at the same time? You're worried about finishing the shiur. How do you start the shiur with Shabbos?
You're asking that 1,000 years ago in the medieval times, we know that they had their drushes. And let's say their drushes was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So presumably, let's start with this. Presumably, every city had a big church bell. I'm not saying that the church people rang it, but there was the Shulchan Aruch said that if it was set before Shabbos, that grandfather clock, that is assumed throughout the poskim to be mutter. No one really questioned that for some reason, because it was set before Shabbos. And also, no one was carrying it. One second, hold on. And nobody was holding it. No one was carrying it. It was just set in the middle of the city up on the top of a tower. And that was given throughout the generation that was not usher, let me rephrase it, that was permitted to be set on Friday and allowed to run. That was a given. The question was, is it mutter if you have a handheld device or to do it on Shabbos? That's where the questions all arise. But to listen to a grandfather clock that was set on Friday, that throughout the generations, I don't think anybody questioned that. That's first of all. Second of all, you're asking what time of the day did the rabbi give the Shabbos Haggadah drasha? It could be that he gave the drasha in the morning after Shachris, not after lunch, not in the afternoon like you and I do it today. And the poskim actually say, we saw this recently in one of the shiurim, the poskim say that the reason why the rabbi would give the drasha in the morning is because after lunch, everybody would be shikr. Right? They didn't have all this, they didn't have grape juice in the olden days. They didn't have Rashi light. They didn't have all these kal wines with 4%, 4.5%, 5.2%. You made kiddush on Shabbos, you got half drunk. So the rabbanim would give their drushes in the morning, not in the afternoon. So they were already in shul. They probably ate their, they probably had their kishka and their chalent and their stuffed cabbage at the kiddush, and then they went straight to the drasha. Halavai. Okay, thank you everybody. It's good to see you all. Thanks for joining. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful day.
Rabbi Orlin, can I ask you two questions?
If it relates to this?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
So the first one has to do with the sundial. The fan clock, I understand that you're turning it over. That first bar we had was being that you're physically turning it over, that you're measuring time. Even though that also, if you're turning it over before Shabbos and just running on Shabbos, you're not doing anything on Shabbos. But the sundial, even less though, I believe a sundial was fixed in position and not touched ever. And depending on where the shade hit a line, you knew what time it was. It didn't involve individual changes. Interaction, it's just
that
there.
Yeah, I was bothered by the same question as you. I have the same question as you. I hear what you're saying. There might have been different kinds of sundials, but you're right. The sundials that I've seen were built in. I hear your question.
And the other question is on the portable one.
I guess they had some portable sundials. I guess so, yeah.
I think portable ones defeat the purpose a little bit. If you're trying to measure the difference between yesterday and today and tomorrow, where the angle of the sun changes, it needs to be set like in the same place every day. If I keep on moving my sundial, you're not going to get the same results from day to day to day. Okay, anyway, the Rosh Hashanah Zalman concerns me as well. And I don't mean any disrespect, surely not. But when do we say things have changed? And when don't we say, for example, is Rafua is Asa? You know why Rafua is Asa? Shrika Samanim. When was the last time that anybody ever did Shrika Samanim? Yeah, Rafua is Asa. The Rav is not going to say, you know what? From now on, Rafua is Mutter. You can take two aspects, because none of us do Shrika Samanim. You go to your pharmacy and you ask them to compound things for you. They're going to laugh at you. They're pill counters. They open up bottles, they count 30 pills, and they upcharge you, and they're done. When was the last time that a pharmacist compounded something? It actually happened to me once in my life. A nice doctor from doctor here in town came up with an ASA for me, and he wrote saying, he says, you're going to have to find a pharmacist who's willing to compound it because it doesn't exist. But that's so rare. Yet you're not going to be moderate because things are, that's like the antithesis of halacha is to walk around saying, things have changed, everything's mutter.
Right. So you're raising a very good question. I was bothered by that nakuda also. I have two points. Number one is that it's not clear that time is even included in the Isser Drabanan of Medida. It's not even clear that this is considered Medida. Secondly, there is a distinction. We're not going into that sugya. That is a sugya that we did discuss in our Thursday night shiurim at length of what kind of malachas do we say, what kind of gzeiras do we say don't apply anymore or do apply because the reason no longer applies. We did discuss that, and there are parameters of whether the reasons were given or the reasons weren't given. But I think Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying something a little bit more lumdish than meets the eye. Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that Medida, I don't know if that Medida is usher, but and the reason is that it's Uvdan Dechol, or Medida is just an expression of Uvda Dechol. Let me say that again. The way you're understanding is there's an Isser, rabbis made an Isser called Medida. You can't measure. You and I want to know, hey, rabbis, why did you make an Isser called Medida? Oh, the reason for it is that it's Uvda Dechol. Since there's a problem of Avdan Dechol, let's make an Isra of Medida. Maybe Rosh Shlomo Zalman understands, no. Medida is not also because a Gzeira Atu. Medida, the act of Medida is Avdan Dechol. It's not that don't do this because you might come to do this. Don't take a medicine because you might crush the medicine. Don't go swimming on Shabbos, you might build a raft. Don't ride a horse on Shabbos, you might come to break off a branch. That's the Gzeira Derabbanan where your Svara applies, the reason doesn't apply, so we should drop the halacha. No. Rosh Shlomo Zalman understands something much more lamdish. Medida is not, don't do Medida because you might come to do Uvdan Dechol. No, that's not the lamdish. Rosh Shlomo Zalman understands the Gzeisr of Medida means that Medida is Uvdan Dechol. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman that Medida of time is nowadays is not Uvdan Dechol. It's not like a Gzeira, don't do Medida because you might do an Uvdan Dechol. No. Medida itself what is also because it is essentially Uvdan Dechol, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, when it's Uvdan Dechol, so Medida is Aser. But Medida nowadays, when we do it for convenience purposes and to know, what time I have to visit my Aunt Pearl, down the block in Cedarhurst, that's not Uvdan Dechol, and therefore there's no Isra of Medida. That's what I think is the lumdis for his Svara. Okay. Yasher Koach, thank you everybody. I wish you all a wonderful day. We'll stop the recording. Have a great day and Bez Hashem 6:15 tonight.